Shocker, how you doing?
Doing well, buddy. How are you today?
Oof. Living the dream. Craig McTavish will be number two, which brings a lot of Mike Myers references to mind right
he
now.
He is hanging around. What was that, in Rounders?
No. Hanging around?
Hanging around, yeah, hanging around. I have to admit, I'm really not surprised. I mean, we've been talking about this since Shirelli was hired, and I'm not surprised that they decided to do this. I think that he knows the organization. He's already being paid by the owner, and it's just a simple, easy fit. The biggest issue was Craig McTavish okay with that arrangement? And apparently he was. And so the marriage is done, and his title will be what his title will be, but he's sticking around. So I don't know. I don't have a huge issue with it. I know some people are losing their marbles over it. I don't have that big an issue over it. What do you think? What are you saying?
Well, I think, hey, if McTavish can handle the demotion, whatever. It doesn't impact my life. I think it would be much harder on the ego for him than it's going to be on people. You know, I think, you know, there's the fear factor, people who really don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So like to create situations like, oh, Craig McTavish is now going to tell Peter Chiarelli what to do. That's not the case at all.
Yeah, that is not right. Happening.
Peter Chiarelli has more experience, has a better track record, and he doesn't take the, all he's doing is, hey, I think this guy can be a good hockey man with some experience to help me in analyzing different things, but make no mistake, I'm making the decisions.
Yeah. Just, you know, if he ever comes up to you and says, Scott Housen and I were thinking, and there's this guy that used to play for Scott that we think could really help us out, and we feel that you should trade for him, just don't listen at that point. Just tune him out at that point. Any advice on that, or, you know, KHL defenseman, just tune him out on that. But there's a lot of value in Craig McTavish's experience. What people need to consider is the dynamic between Peter Chiarelli, the new president of hockey operations and general manager, and the owner. So Chiarelli would, let's say he's not keeping McTavish on. I mean, he would go to the owner and say, okay, I need some help. We need an assistant GM, or we need somebody. I'm going to be busy as both president and GM, so I need someone with some experience. I need somebody who knows the landscape, someone who can be my eyes and ears. This can't be a junior person. I need someone with some experience. A little bit of credibility around the league that people know that can have some conversations for me. And so that's going to be an $800,000 job probably for somebody. And then the owner looks back at him and goes, well, how about this, my friend, who we just demoted him, but he's here. He fits every bill you just asked for. He's already under contract. We're already paying him. Do you think he can just make that work? Or do I need to pay him and now you want to go find somebody else too? So now you're paying two guys to do the same job when the one guy was pretty qualified to do it anyways. The dynamic between Chiarelli and the owner and what he'd be asking by bringing someone brand new in to fill that role when Craig's sitting right there, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, well, a lot of other organizations have done it, however.
Yeah, I mean, let's see here. So the Toronto Maple Leafs so Brendan Shanahan is the president there. He blew out notice in the whole staff, so he's going to have to hire a general manager. There's already assistant GMs in place. So there is that situation doesn't really apply. It's very unique that an organization would replace a general manager without flat-out firing him. That's very unusual, very unique. I don't know when this ever would have even happened before. But the point is that Craig McTavish is qualified for the job, already being paid to do the job. And if Chiarelli's okay with it, then, I mean, what could the issue possibly be? I mean, he can take the advice and throw it in the garbage can if he wants. But Craig has proven himself to be a pretty hardworking guy. He's been all over the place. He's been scouting. He's scouting the American League as we speak. You know, he was at the under-18s, the world champ. I mean, he's been everywhere and seen everything. And there's built-in value there with him. So why just throw it out the window entirely and have to pay somebody else to come in and learn from scratch about the organization as well? There's an advantage to keeping him in play.
Yeah, sure. I think, I do know that some will just never get over it because they want McTavish gone. And, you know, there's a part of that that I can relate to, honestly. It's like it's the organization that just can never really say goodbye to some people. So, you know, I understand that.
Sure.
Right? So I get that criticism, but I don't buy the criticism from anyone who suggests that Lowe and McTavish are telling Shirelli what to do. That's not the case.
Yeah. Do you know where loyalty becomes an issue? Loyalty becomes an issue when it's loyalty over just good business sense. And for some time now, with Daryl Cates in charge, loyalty has run roughshod over good business sense. That has happened in this city for a number of years now. But that's not going to be happening now. Finally, good business sense, and it took a whole bunch of alarm bells ringing a bunch of years out of the playoffs and a bunch of empty seats, quite frankly, for it to actually happen. But the alarm bells have gone off. And what happened is the hockey model crashed headfirst into the business model. The business people took notice and said, okay, it's time for something to change. So the loyalty remains, because Craig McTavish is going to have a nice, cushy job that I'm sure is going to pay him really well, keeps him close to Daryl Cates, his good friend, keeps him close to Kevin Lowe, his good friend, keeps him in a respectable hockey operations position, but not the final say. So loyalty is being given back to Craig McTavish right now. I don't have that much of a problem with it, because to me, it's not getting in the way of good business sense at this point. It has been up to this point, but it's not anymore. And it's a corner that the organization has turned.
Ryan Rashog joins us. Big fan of the Craig McTavish hiring, which is totally fine.
That might be characterizing it a little hard. I understand why they did it. I get it. I mean, who would they go out there and get? Who are you going to go out there and get to be the number two behind Peter Chiarelli for the Edmonton Oilers? All the guys that we've heard about over the last few years about the next GMs in the league, Paul Fenton and Botterill out in Pittsburgh, and I mean, you can name a few of them, Sean Burke, these guys, they're not moving to be number twos. So now you're hiring a more junior guy, and they're already paying Craig. So I don't have an issue with it. I get it. And I do not believe that Craig is going to have, in any way, shape, or form, any kind of a say over Chiarelli. I mean, Pete Chiarelli is the general manager. He will be able to make the calls, or he wouldn't be here. So to me, it's not as big a deal as people feel it needs to be. And by the way, you know, it needs to be said here. Craig McTavish didn't do everything right. He did a lot of things wrong. He was a rookie general manager. The issue in the first place was hiring a rookie general manager.
Yep.
For an organization that was trying to turn the corner. So what did he do? He made a few rookie mistakes. Hired a coach he probably shouldn't have hired, right? Had trouble figuring out on the goaltending front. Had a little bit of trouble getting the decor together. And spoke a little too soon about everything he was going to accomplish, right? Just rookie general manager mistakes. They probably shouldn't have hired a rookie general manager in the first place. All Craig McTavish did was his best as a rookie general manager. Peter Chiarelli hired a guy when he was first named general manager in Boston. He hired a head coach, wrong guy, fired him the next summer. Probably, I don't know for sure, probably had a 2 or 3 year deal. He made that same mistake too. He was a rookie general manager at the time. 2 years is not a long time for a general manager to try and turn things around. And he probably, in all fairness, should have been given longer. But the whole thing was at such a boil that he ended up getting sacked. And fine, he made mistakes. But 2 years was not long for him to get his feet wet and dig into the job the way a lot of guys get the opportunity. So I think that needs to be said.
Mike Babcock, a day later, did you hear his thoughts today? What are you making
of
Babcock?
I'm trying to figure out what his wife wants. Now I need, like, would she be mad if he, you know, did he go in there and say, so I'm thinking about Edmonton. And is that when she blew up? Or, like, what made it, the conversation go so bad? Was it just talking about leaving at all that made it go bad? Like, why was it such a short conversation?
Yeah, no, there's definitely more to that. Who knows? Now, from what I understand, I think her parents are from around here, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a Western guy, and I don't know anything about her or where she's from. I know they have kids. I'm not sure what age they are or what stage of life they're all in, but he's in a position to be able to call his shot and take care of his family the way they want to be taken care of. So I don't, I'm not sure what it meant. He said the conversation got heated real quickly. Well, what did he say? Hey, we're thinking about staying, or hey, we're thinking about I'd like to take less money to stay, or I want to move you and the kids to Edmonton or Buffalo. Is that where things got heated? So I think it's going to be decided pretty quick, though. I don't think there's going to be any of this 3-4 weeks. I think he's going to know in the next probably week, and then something will end up happening one way or another. I don't think it's going to be really drawn out.
No, probably not. I still think Todd McClellan, Peter Chiarelli is over at the World Championships, and I'm sure him and Todd McClellan will find time to go for dinner once or twice.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will. And there's a real connection, too, between McClellan and McTavish. You know, I think their boys actually played together at one point. So I know there's a strong connection there as well. McClellan, he's a good fit. He makes sense. You know, you could put him up against any other coach out there that's available. Maybe Babcock is the more marquee name, and he's got the cop. But you could put him up against just about any coach that'll be available here, and he would be a perfectly, perfectly reasonable and logical choice. So I think it's going to be one of the two. You know, we heard what McKenzie said yesterday, and if the family is okay with it, I could see Babcock wanting to come to Edmonton. I could see that make sense, but I think it's going to be one of the two of them.
Are the Flames done before this series begins, or is it just one game?
Yeah, it's so hard to know because who feels like you can count out the Flames, right? I mean, it feels like it would be stupid to count out the Calgary Flames because of everything they've accomplished. But I watched that game start to finish. It was not even close. I mean, they were absolutely dominant. The Ducks were. They owned Calgary in their zone. The Flames were not hard. They were not rough and tumble. They were not gritty. All of the characteristics that put that team where they are were just non-existent. So I'm prone to think they're not going to be embarrassed in this series. I think they're going to make a series out of it. But after watching how lopsided it was last night, knowing how hurt the Flames are, I can't see this going more than 5 games.
Yeah, I would, especially if Hudler's out.
Yeah, I mean that's no good for them. But like Sean Monahan was non-existent last night. I mean, he was just nowhere to be found. Now he's a young player going through this for the first time, so that's okay. I mean, it's okay. But the Heat ratcheted up. The competition went way up. And the other thing I don't like is I don't like the matchup of the Anaheim forwards and the Calgary D. It's no good. I mean, the Calgary, like those guys, Weidman and you know, those other Russell, I mean, they're not big guys. Like, they're not a big D-core, and they just got their show run. I mean, the Anaheim forwards were just – Getzlaff was just skating around in the offensive zone at will. I mean, nobody could touch him. Head up, stick handling around guys, making plays, grinding it out in the corners. Anaheim dominated the front of the net in the crease area. It was just – they owned it. I mean, they might as well just set up some lawn chairs and sat there all night. They were just dominant, so – very unlike Calgary to be pushed over the way they were, and we'll see if they got some push back, but it's a tale of two completely different class of teams after game one.
Schauger, have yourself a fantastic weekend. We will chat with you on Monday.
Okay, look forward to it, buddy. I'll probably be off. I'm heading off to Calgary for the home games there, so I'll be jumping in on that series here shortly so we can dial her in on the Flames and Ducks.
Oof. All right. Go Quackers.
All right, buddy.